to Learning by Proxy with Vivek Srinivasan. Hi everyone, welcome back to this podcast once again. I had given up on it about a year ago and now I'm restarting it. It's amazing how quickly you forget to do all the things that you were doing routinely just a year ago. But yeah, here we are and here we are getting started all over again. So this week I'm going to be talking about the Panama Canal. So if you look at the map of North and South America, there's this tiny sliver of land that connects both the continents, and that sliver of land is narrowest at Panama. If you wait a few million years, it probably get ripped apart as the North American continent is continuing to be pushed northwestwards and the South American continent gets pushed northeastwards. But till then, we have to survive. And if you take a trip around South America, it's about 8,000 nautical miles or 15,000 kilometers extra to go from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean. Leave alone the fact that there's a cost saving, a typical cargo ship burns between 2 and 5 tons of fuel for every extra kilometer. So can you imagine the pollution that it would cause if they had to go another 15,000 kilometers extra? It's crazy. So the Panama Canal is actually saving the planet if you think about it. I, in all my abundance of ignorance, used to think that the Panama Canal was basically a whole canal that was dug through the entire country from one side to the other. Turns out it's nothing like that. So the Panama Canal was a project that was conceived in the early 19th century, and talks got very concrete by the mid 19th century, and then it was only towards the end of the 19th century that the French decided to get on and do it anyway. And they hired the best that they could find in the world at the time. They hired the team that built the Suez Canal, and they were pretty certain that they were going to make this happen. Only they sunk a lot of money and they never got to the end of it. And then an American team took over the development and they were the ones that finished the Panama Canal. Now there are two sides to it, obviously the Atlantic side and the Pacific side. And if you go to my blog and if you look at the maps, you would see that as a profile, the country is 26 meters above sea level. So it's not like the country is level with the sea. What they actually do is they actually lift ships and put them into the Gatun Lake, which covers almost half of the country. And the rest of the bits that had to be cut through were actually cut through as canals. So when a ship is crossing from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean, it's actually navigating a lake most of the time. And then it goes into the canal and out into the other side. Now, since the land is 26 meters above sea level, so is the lake. And so what happens is you need to raise the ships 26 meters and put them into the lake, for which they have these locks where ships park themselves, water fills up, moves them up, then they move into another lock, water fills up, moves them up, and so on and so forth, right? So I've actually added a video of that as well in the blog, if you want to have a look at what the process looks like from the point of view of a ship. Now, since most of the navigation is through the lake needs to be deep enough for ships to be able to cross through. What has also been happening is that there is this thing called the thermocline between the Eastern Pacific and the Western Pacific. So typically what happens is the water tends to be hotter on the western side of the Pacific as compared to the eastern side of the Pacific. And because the trade winds blow from east to west, all the hotter water gets pushed to the western side and the cooler water accumulates on the eastern side, which is towards South America. And this causes the movement of clouds from west to east, which delivers rainfall on the eastern side. Now, this entire conveyor belt is broken because of what people describe as El Nino. So El Nino is a phenomenon where this thermocline breaks and the heating happens unevenly across, and as a result of that you don't have this clean conveyor belt that is formed. You must have heard of El Nino, and you must have heard of why, you know, there's so much climate disruption across various places, and this is exactly the phenomenon that is disrupting climate. In fact, if you go back and look at it, California has been deemed to be drought ridden for the last 10 out of 12 years, right? Barring 2018 and 2019, every year from 2011 has been classified as a drought in California. So this whole conveyor belt of weather has been broken, and it's because there is heating that is taking place across the board. And here's where Lake Gatun comes into play. The lake is drying up, so ships that would have normally gotten from the Atlantic Ocean into the lake navigated across to the other side and gotten out into the Pacific Ocean are not able to do that, because starting from June 25th, Panama Canal, the company that manages it, basically limited the depth of ships to 43.5 feet or 13 meters, because anything deeper runs the risk of getting moored in the canal. And they don't want a situation like Evergreen again, where, you know, the entire canal has to be closed before, you know, a ship is unmoored and pulled out. And the problem here would be that if a ship beaches itself and there is no water, if the lake is too shallow, there is no way to pull it out. So that will become an even bigger problem. So as you can see, this huge problem brewing at one of the most important transit points for trade. You know, moving across from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean is very, very important for trade. And a lot of European goods that go towards Asia actually take this route, because if they had to go to Japan or whatever, it's very difficult to go all the way around Africa through Suez Canal and, you know, around Asia up to Japan. So they use the Panama Canal to cross over, and now this is going to be a source of problem for a lot of the shipping freight that's moving around. And this is climate driven, right? So I don't know how long this problem is going to persist, but in all likelihood, it's probably going to get worse, not better. So the saving grace is perhaps that, you know, the Arctic will melt and give them a route through the northern side, which will be, you know, easier for them to cross across. And they won't really care about the fact that, you know, we don't have glaciers anymore. It's just good business, right? So that's something that is going to happen in the coming days. But I thought it was interesting to note this. It was all the more interesting for me because I did not know the structure of the canal itself, and I found it really interesting. So that's what I wanted to share this time. I'll bring another episode to you soon. Until then, goodbye.